Christmas overwhelm them. Historians go back and forth about which side exactly initiated this, but people started, they think it was the Germans held up signs in kind of a little bit broken English to the effect of, no fighting on Christmas. And as the two sides went back and forth, at least one side started singing Christmas carols. There was a sense that something more important than the war was at hand, that there was this deep longing for peace. And so in the process of things, the soldiers actually came out of their trenches, began to sing Christmas carols together, played soccer, and there was a day of peace. You can actually read about this in a book entitled Silent Night that came out a few years back that talks about this remarkable event that happened on Christmas 1914. And so there's this sense that Jesus brings peace between enemies. Jesus breaks down walls that are set up between people who are literally trying to kill each other. And as we look at the text of Matthew today, I think we see here, first of all, a definition of what it means to be an enemy. A definition of what it means to be an enemy. And I want to say that this may not be how we often think about our enemies. But I want to observe what Jesus says here. He says that an enemy is someone, first of all, who would diminish my social standing. Who would diminish my social standing. He says, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Now, in Jesus' culture, as in our culture, for somebody to come up and slap you in the face is a pretty severe put-down. This would be embarrassing. This would be humiliating. Jesus says, if you're confronted with someone who is doing their best to humiliate you, to tear you down, Jesus says, sharing God's love is more important than your social standing. Sharing God's love is more important than how other people look at you or perceive you. So my enemy is someone who might attack me in that way, who might diminish my social standing. That might be a bully at school. That might be a coworker who is constantly trying to say half-truths to cast you in a bad light. My enemy is someone who's trying to diminish my social standing. An enemy could also be someone who's trying to diminish my possessions. Jesus says, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Now, this is a big deal because in Jesus' culture, unlike in our world, I have a closet full of clothes. Most people in Jesus' world, if you're talking about a coat, this was their one and only outer garment. It's something that if you were poorer, it'd even double as a blanket that you would sleep in. And so Jesus says, sharing God's love is more important than my possessions. Am I willing to hold loosely to what God has given me so that others can see and perceive and know the tangible love of God? Now, Jesus here is specifically thinking about someone who is trying to take what you have from you. But if you look at the rest of the New Testament, it's clear that friend or enemy alike, we're called to share our possessions. We're called to take what we have and give to those who have needs. So an enemy is someone who would diminish my social standing, someone who might diminish my possessions, also somebody who is going to affect my time. My time. Jesus says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. In Jesus' day, this is a common occurrence. A Roman soldier, by law, if they needed help, could immediately draft anybody into their service. And so Jesus is saying, when you're approached with a an occupying soldier who's demanding your time and effort, don't just do the bare minimum required by law. Go above and beyond to show God's love. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. And so an enemy is someone who might diminish my social standing, my possessions, my time. I want you to notice in all of these examples that Jesus gives, I want you to notice the proximity of the enemy. Okay, maybe that's a new vocabulary word. We can add it. That's good. Vocabulary is good. The proximity, the closeness, the fact that the enemy is somebody in all of these who is near to us. And so Jesus says, notice that Jesus says, treat your enemy like your neighbor. Treat your enemy like your neighbor. I want to observe this. Often our neighbor is our enemy. What I mean by that is it's often the people who are closest to us that are the hardest to love. It's the people who are closest to us that are the hardest to love. The people who might in some way, shape, or form affect our social standing, who might affect our possessions, who affect our time. Those who are closest to us are often hardest to love. The great Russian novelist Dostoevsky wrote Crime and Punishment and others, says this. He says, one can love one's neighbors in the abstract or at a distance, but at close quarters, it's almost impossible. Anybody here married, have a family, says amen. Right? Because if you live with people, they will annoy you. They are going to infringe on your possessions. They're going to infringe on your time. They're going to say and do things that are absolutely frustrating. The theologian Stanley Hauerwas has what he calls the Hauerwas's law of marriage, which is that you always marry the wrong person. You always marry the wrong person. And his point is, in our culture, we have this idea that there's a Mr. or Mrs. Right, and if my marriage isn't going so well, it's because I missed this person. And his point is, no, there is no Mr. Right, and there is no Mrs. Right. Rather, once you realize you're married to the wrong person, then you can get about the difficult business of loving well. I would even adapt this to include Hauerwas's law of church family, which is you always go to the wrong church. Right? You always go to the wrong. You're like, I don't know about these people. Right? I don't know what's going on here. Because once we admit and we say it's not perfect, people aren't easy to love, people aren't easy to get along with, then we can get about the business of loving well our enemy who might happen to be our neighbor, who might happen to be our friend. Another great theologian, Charles Schulz, in his Peanuts cartoon, has this one caption I love, Linus, the most probably theologically astute of all the characters. Shouting to the heavens, he says, I love mankind, it's people I can't stand. Right? And so in all of these things, right, the proximity of my enemy, sometimes we think of our enemies as people maybe just out there in the abstract, but oftentimes it's people who are closest to us that are going to demand this kind of love that Jesus calls us to. And so if we want to share God's love, Jesus says, we're going to have to follow the Father. We're going to have to follow the example of God the Father. And Jesus is saying, he says, open your eyes. He says, look at the sun. The sun rises each and every day. See what God is perpetually giving to you. Remember last week we had the kids up here, ungrateful kids, right? When Eric asked the question, like, what do your parents share with you? It's like, I don't know, they don't really share much with me, right? As parents, you're like, what are you talking about, right? But oftentimes, think about how we do this with God. It's like, I don't know, God hasn't answered specifically this one prayer that I've been praying. So I just really feel like I don't know if God's there. Right, just stop for a minute. Feel yourself breathing. That's God. That's God sustaining you. Think about the fact that you have life, that you're here. God is every second of every day constantly upholding you, giving to you. Open your eyes, Jesus says, to see what he gives, and open your eyes to see who you really are. Jesus says he sends the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Where do we like to put ourselves? We're like the kids up here, like, well, we're the righteous, so we're the ones who deserve it, and it's those other people out there who don't get it. Romans 5, 6 through 11, Paul says, you were enemies of God. And while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. Even think about the people sitting around the table with Jesus, his closest friends. One of whom would betray him to his death. Another would deny him 3 times, and virtually all of them would scatter. With friends like that, who needs enemies? And so at Christmas time, we celebrate the one who perfectly followed his Father. We celebrate Jesus, who gave up social standing, who gave up receiving the endless praise of angels for all eternity, to come and be born of a virgin, to be born into a very suspect social position, so that we could be declared righteous, so that we could have this perfect standing with the Father. He gave up possessions. He gave up every spiritual blessing. He became poor for our sake so that we could become rich. He gave up time, the eternal Son, the one who made time for us, entered into time as a human being. He made time for us so that we could have an eternity of life with him. So this morning, do you see who you are? Do you see who you are? Do you see what you've been given? Now, I'm not saying life is easy, but I am saying we have to constantly remind ourselves of the abundant blessings that are ours in Christ, of the way that God does indeed sustain us day in and day out. Who's your enemy? Who's the person demanding a lot of you right now? Who's the person testing your patience? Who's a person that you would like to say they definitely deserve a lump of coal, probably 3? See, part of what it means to be recipients of God's love is that we are willing to pass it on. In fact, I would maybe go so far as to say the way to gauge whether we really understand God's love for us is, especially in these difficult circumstances like Jesus is talking about, where the temptation is to just return evil for evil. And Jesus says anybody can do that. Anybody can return evil for evil and good for good. Tax collectors do that. Pagans do that. If you want to be identified with me, if you want to really demonstrate the love of God, then it's especially in those circumstances where it doesn't compute. It's especially in those circumstances where people do deserve a lump of coal. That's where you're called to share my love. That's where God's love is seen really on display. Because that's what we see in Jesus. That's what we see at the cross. Is God's overwhelming love for his enemies. The story of Silent Night is a good one. This December 1914, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. But I want to say that Jesus didn't come for once a year sentimentalism. Jesus didn't come so on one day out of the year we would say, you know what, yeah, let the spirit of Christmas fill our hearts. We're going to love our enemies. for one day, and the other 364, we're going to act like pagans and return evil for evil and good for good. Jesus didn't come for that kind of sentimentalism. He came to transform enemies into friends. He came to transform you and me into children of God who receive God's love and who share God's love with those who we think deserve it, but especially with those who don't. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we're grateful for the fact that while we were still sinners, you showed your great love to us. Lord, we need the strength of Jesus. We need the power of your Holy Spirit because we recognize on our own we will not have this kind of love. And so we pray that especially this Advent, this Christmas season, as we think about Jesus coming for us, that that would transform our outlook. And we pray that as we do this, your name would be lifted up, your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.